when I was growing up, there was no such thing as a personal computer, laptops, tablets. There's nothing. The world's changed a lot. When I was in college, when I had to do computer programming, I was at a terminal and I had to punch IBM cards out and take a stack of cards to a card reader and it would feed into it and then I'd get a printout maybe 2, 3, 4 days sometimes later. I'd have to go back and get a printout to see if everything was right. It's a different world. We live in a world that not only we have television and radio and movies and newspapers and books and internet and tablets and laptops. It's such a multimedia diverse world that we live in today. And we are constantly bombarded with every version of the truth, every version of reality or unreality or an immorality you can imagine. Constantly being bombarded by all these things. And they try to convince us all the time what's right and what's wrong, and they chastise us for having such narrow-minded and prejudiced views. All the time. Wow, you're very narrow-minded. So you think it's wrong to be gay, and it's wrong to be lesbian, and you think it's wrong to do all these things. You're so narrow-minded. You know, get with it. Get on the, you know, the plan, you know, all the time. We're bombarded with it. They tell us that homosexuality is a style of life that we must accept. It's normal, they say. They tell us that abortion is a woman's right to choose her own destiny, what she wants, what's right for her. We're told that morality is in the eye of the beholder. And if it feels good, hey, baby, just do it, right? If it feels good. It can't be wrong if it feels good. Express yourself sexually. Be liberated. This is what we hear all the time. You know, I remember years ago, we were watching The Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy, the new version. Although I remember when the one with Jerry Lewis came out, and I watched that when it first came out. That was a long time ago. And when I remember seeing it, I think I saw it just on TV, and there was no cussing and no nakedness and all nothing. It was this fat, you know, professor and the formula he comes up with all that. We rented it the other day, and oh my God, nudity and cussing, and it was disgusting. It wasn't filtered at all. What a world that we live in today. Throw away all those Victorian Puritan ideals and just go for it. Religion will only hold you back and pollute and distort and destroy the good life for you. That's what we hear all the time, every day. To make it even worse or add insult to injury, we have men and women who profess to be believers or saints of God, but in reality are false prophets and dreamers. Liars. They peddle us their brand of Christianity and faith, which leads us astray and bring confusion and destruction to the sheep. They cause the sheep to follow after the vain, the material, and the mystical things that don't profit at all in the eternal realm of God. It's all a lie. And in the midst of all of this noise, how can we hear that still, quiet voice of the Lord? In 1 Kings chapter 19, if you have your scriptures, even, you know, one or two of you might have one of these, I think, these kind of, you remember these things, the scriptures, actually, you know, a book, you remember that? Okay, some of you have that, but I see, you know, nowadays you see more from up here, people getting their phone or their tablet or something else. But it's always good to have one of these. And I suggest don't leave home without it. It's important to have the Word of God. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 11. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13 says, and this is talking about Elijah, the Lord speaking. It says, go out and stand on the mountain before God. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah the prophet heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So with that loud clamor of voices surrounding us all the time, will we ever know which voice to listen to? So many voices out there. Which voice are we going to listen to? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. And we're going to read what the Lord has to say to us. And in this portion of Scripture here, the Lord is saying that He's testing us to find out whether we love Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. In other words, which voice are we going to listen to? Will we listen to the self-proclaimed prophet or dreamer who speaks to us words that are contrary to the Word of God? Words that divert us from following the way of the Lord? Words that cannot, or words that cause us to follow after other gods? Words that seem to carry the power of God by ways of signs and wonders and even miracles, but in reality are demonic manifestations that blind us to the truth. The Lord tells us in Deuteronomy 13 that we must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer. It goes on to say, it is the Lord your God or our God that we must follow, and Him we must revere. It goes on and says, keep His commands and obey Him and serve Him and hold fast to Him. In fact, we are commanded that prophet or that dreamer that peddles this false information, or we can even call garbage to us, we are told, commanded even, that prophet or dreamer must be put to death. We have to put him to death because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God. And he says that he has tried to turn you away from the Lord that you were commanded to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. And this scripture even goes on to say, even if our own brother or your own brother or your son or your daughter or your closest friend secretly entices you, we are not to yield to him or listen to him. We are to show him no pity at all, nor spare him or shield him. We are to put him to death, and our own hand must be the first in putting him to death. Can you even imagine that? Sometimes I wish we could do that. Sometimes I turn on the television and I hear some stuff that I say, oh my God, how can that person be saying that stuff? And worse than that, oh my God, how can the audience be filled with people who are not only listening but accepting this blasphemy? And they have smiles on their faces. Wow. Oh my Lord. Whew. Mm-mm-mm. Not only that, if we hear others leading people astray, we are to inquire or we are to probe and investigate it thoroughly. And if it's true, and it has been proved to be right, it says, we must certainly put them to death. Now, do you think that's something that we in this modern age should even consider doing, something like that? I mean, if somebody was up in front preaching to hundreds or thousands of people, some crazy doctrine, blasphemy, and turning the people astray to other gods and bringing confusion and doubt and turning them, would it be right for those people to be put to death? Now, I'm not advocating it, so don't go home and get your AR-15s, your AK-47s, or anything like that. Don't do that, all right? I'm not advocating that at all. Just bring me your AR-15, AK-47, I'll put it away safely at my house. Okay? Oh. Uh-oh. The Lord tells us that only through obeying Him and keeping His commands will we see the blessings of God in our lives. Now, these words which I read, they may seem harsh and they may seem cruel. Many have used them to show anger and vengeance of the God of the Old Testament. But if we are to adhere to these things, maybe not going totally to the actual death part of it, there would be a lot less problems among the people of God, and there would be a whole lot more blessings in the body. And again, I'm not advocating that we get out our swords or our rifles and start killing all the false prophets and dreamers out there. No. Did you hear that? I'm sure the FBI is listening right now, or NSA or something or other. But no, I don't have any weapons. I'm against guns and knives and sharp pencils and everything. Okay. Just for the record, we're going to have to start checking for sharp pencils now as people come in, because those can be deadly weapons, right? Thank you, Lord. But I'm not advocating those things. Those who masquerade in sheep's clothing but are in reality ravenous wolves. Those who appear to be angels of light but are really demons of darkness. However, whenever we see falsity and untruth, it's our obligations to God to expose that darkness to light. We have to do that. If you see something wrong, God expects you to expose that darkness to the light, to the truth. In silence, we betray the trust of God and allow the innocent to be consumed by the wolves and the evil one. You know, even today, in foreign countries, and we read about it a lot of times, thieves are punished by having their hands chopped off. To me, I mean, that's a sure way to prevent theft again, isn't it? It's pretty hard with just having a nubs here, trying to steal things. You can't do that, right? Drug offenders are often punished by execution. Maybe we have a less of a drug problem here in the United States. Those who blaspheme the religion or God of their belief are often severely punished in murder. I just read again, you know, all the time in China, the authorities busting in people who are having Bible studies. I just read another one about it. Breaking in, busting, taking their Bibles. Just read about somebody who had a bookstore in China, and he was selling in a bookstore some Bibles. Now he's in prison for, I think, 8 years for selling a Bible. Mm-mm. As you can imagine, they have very few repeat offenders, and the crime rates are very low in some of these countries. It's easy to see that we're in what's known as the last days, or the end of days. I see it that we're closer and closer to those last days. We see so many signs that Yeshua speaks about in Matthew chapter 24. And it says in Matthew 24, it talks about wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom and famines and earthquakes. We see it every single day. And Yeshua warns us. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. He wants us to be carefully watching that we're not deceived here. And he says, many are going to come in my name and they're going to claim that I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. And we've seen it here. We see like David Koresh and so many that say, I'm the Messiah. And then you get people to drink the Kool-Aid, like in the Branch Davidians and all that stuff. Anybody want some Kool-Aid? No? Nobody wants some Kool-Aid today. Okay. I made it special. No? No. No takers today. And he says here, they say that I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Many will turn from the faith and will betray and they will even hate one another. And many false prophets are going to appear and deceive many people and the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands to the very end is going to be saved. God is wanting, we have to stand to the very end, regardless of what people think about us, regardless of what people say about us, regardless of what we may have to go through, we have to stand strong in the Holy Spirit, in the very Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. And then we read a little further on, and it says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is. Do not believe. In other words, whose voice are you going to listen? Don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to it at all. For false messiahs and false prophets are going to appear and they're going to perform many great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that was possible. See, I've told you ahead of time. And we see it all the time. People who claim to perform miracles and signs and wonders. And I believe that as we get closer and closer to the return of Yeshua, there are going to be a lot of false prophets and false teachers who are going to even be able to perform miracles that we've even read about in the Scriptures. Miracles like that, because they'll be operating under the power and the authority of the evil one who comes to deceive as an angel of light. It's not going to be from the power of God. It's going to be from the evil one. And the purpose of that is to deceive many people into following false ways and false gods. It's going to happen more and more and more. And it's happening today in front of our eyes. Yeshua's brother, Judah, or Jude, that was the half-brother of Yeshua, also speaks of these types of people. And he calls them in the book of Jude, godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Yeshua the Messiah. Judah continues and said that there are shepherds who feed only themselves or they're selfish. Going on, it says there are clouds without rain. You know what clouds without rain are? That means false hope. And we see that sometimes in areas where they're really hoping and hoping for rain and you get the clouds, you know, are darkening and look like it might rain, but it doesn't rain. That's false hope. Hope. They give you false hope. Autumn trees. Again, what do we expect in the autumn from trees? Fruit to come forth. But autumn trees without fruit. Deception. Uprooted. Twice dead. In other words, no fruit of the Spirit, dead in their sin. Wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame or babbling at the mouth. Wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever speaks of condemned in their sin to perish. These are the men that divide you. who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit at all. But Judah here, he provides an answer to help us to persevere in the Lord. He says, and this is something important for all of us, he tells us that we are to build ourselves up in the most, it says, in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in your faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You could take that several ways. If you believe in speaking in tongues, or maybe it's just groans from your spirit praying to God, or it could just be being spirit-filled and speaking the words of God coming forth from your mouth. But build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, to bring you to eternal life. Also, we are to snatch, it says here, we are also to snatch others from the fire and save them. Now, if you see a house on fire and you hear people screaming, isn't it our obligation to run in there and try to snatch them from the fire? We have to do that. That's the right thing to do. And it's the same thing, people who are being deceived and who are being led astray to false teachers and false prophets and false doctrines. We are to snatch them away from that fire, that damnation, and turn them to the living God. That's our obligation. And lastly, Judah reminds us of who will accomplish all of this. He says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. That is a good scripture there. Thank you, Lord. All the glory, Yeshua. All the honor, all the praise, all the worship, all the majesty to be given to you and you alone. Thank you, Lord. To you alone belongs all of that. Also, Shimon in 2 Peter chapter 3 reminds us that you must understand that in these last days. Now he's speaking, 2,000 years ago, or maybe 2,000 years ago? So you can imagine that if he was seeing those things back then and warning us of it, how much worse can it actually be now? I think it's so much worse now because we have the means to propagate it around the world instantly through satellite TV and through radio and shortwave, so many different ways. And he says here, you must understand that in the last day scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires, making every effort to be found, or we are to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. And he tells us that we are to be on our guard. I'm telling you, you have to be on your guard. You can't walk around with blindfolds on and with earplugs in your ear. You got to be your eyes wide open, wide alert, your ears unstopped. You got to be looking around you, looking around every corner, every nook and every cranny, because there's some crazy person out there who's going to peddle the most incredibly horrific, crazy stuff. And there's going to be people who are going to follow and going to believe it. So we have to be on our guard, he says, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. So how will we ever hear the voice of the Lord with so much noise surrounding and enticing us away from God? So how can we distinguish the Lord's voice from all the other voices calling us out? You know, I always think of those, you know, cartoons where you have some character like, I know we're in the synagogue here, like Porky Pig. Okay. The name that shall not be named. Where you have, maybe you have an angel speaking in one ear, floating. You know, don't do that. You know you shouldn't do it. And the other voice, yeah, you need to do it. Yeah. Okay, I didn't say Porky Pig, all right? I didn't say that. Oh, boy. So how can we distinguish the Lord's voice from all the other voices calling us out? The Lord tells us this word in Psalm 46:10. It's just this one little verse, but it's so important. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." We need to be still before the Lord. Still and listen for that voice of God. If we continue in all the things that we do and enticed by so many voices around us and so many areas where we can be entertained and led astray, it's so important that we just get quiet before the Lord. Be still before the Lord and know that He is God. Only in solitude and silence will we ever hear that voice of God. This means sitting still in the holy presence of the Lord and waiting upon Him for leading and guiding and direction. In fact, it means not even saying a word sometimes or even offering up a prayer. And let me tell you, that's hard. Sometimes I try, I'm so far from perfect. Let me just say it twice. I'm so far from perfect because I am so far from perfect. But sometimes I'll sit there and try not to say anything and just want to hear and listen to the voice of God. And I tell you what, I start thinking about this and start thinking about that, and my stomach starts growling, or, I forgot to do this, I need to go do that, or I'll fall asleep. Is that anyone else here? Yeah. It's not easy to sit still in the presence of the Holy God and wait upon Him for His direction. In fact, it means that, like I said, we're not saying anything, and that's hard to do. You know, we like to talk, right? We want to say something, but that means no talk. How will we ever hear the voice of God if we don't stop talking? And some, you know, and we'll say, well, you know, I'm praying, and you get to your spot, and you're praying, and you're praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, amen, and you get up and go. But did you stop and get quiet after you said all your prayers and listen to what God has to say now? You've said a lot. I mean, you've been talking nonstop. Now, let God speak now. What does God have for you? What does God want to tell you there? So we need to stop, silence our voices, and wait upon the Lord. King David mentions in the Psalms to wait patiently and silently for the Lord. He says that the voice of the Lord thunders. It's powerful. It breaks. It divides and it shakes. If we silence ourselves, we'll never mistake the voice of the Lord for any other voice, if we can only get quiet before Him. His voice is clear and will speak deep into the innermost being of us. You know, Yeshua mentioned that even the elect will be deceived. That means leaders, pastors, rabbis, elders, bishops, deacons, whatever you want to say, will be deceived. This refers to the learned and studied men and women who profess faith in the Messiah Yeshua. They may have the knowledge of God and can quote scriptures left and right. They may know every doctrine and creed of the faith. They may pray the loudest. They may pray the longest in communal gatherings. But inwardly, where it all really matters, they're empty, whitewashed tombs devoid of the Spirit of God. They have every appearance of righteousness, holiness, and godliness, but are empty, dried out, dead, smelly vessels. And let me tell you, I know people like this. I know people just like that who can quote millions of scriptures and know the Word of God in and out, but they are devoid of the Spirit of God, and they are false prophets and liars and thieves and murderers. If even the elect can be deceived, what hope do we have? Well, let me tell you, plenty. We have plenty. The Lord is always looking for a man and a woman after his own heart. Someone willing to love and serve the Lord with all their heart and soul and their mind and their strength. Someone who is not willing to listen to the voices of this world and all the false prophets and all the false dreamers. Someone who can hear that small, still, quiet voice of the Lord and blot out all the interference around it, to tune in. Like the old radios, before we had digital radios, we had analog. Maybe some younger people don't even know what that means. We actually had dials and you had to turn in the frequency. Yeah, it was barbaric. It was horrible, scary. Man, it was scary. But yes, you have to take the knob. And when you had the analog radio, you have to really, you'd hear, and then you tune it in and you hear that voice loud and clear. You have to tune out all the interference so you could hear that still, quiet voice of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone who is willing to say, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So how do we get there? And how can we be sure that it's God's voice that we're listening to? It all boils down to how much do we love the Lord and how much time are we willing to spend with Him. Think about it. How much do you love the Lord and how much time are you willing to spend with Him? It sounds simple, doesn't it? But in simplicity, God will be found. God will be found in the simple, in the simplicity. Neither God nor His Word is complex at all. You hear people say, you know, I've looked in this, but it's just so complex. It's so hard to understand what's in here. I think the Word of God is simple. It's not hard to understand. But it's our hard heart that doesn't want to hear what it has to say. God loves the humble in heart and those who are willing to simply love and trust in faith. So we must all now determine in our hearts the level of commitment and love for God which we are willing to express and exert. Do we love Him enough to spend adequate time in prayer and in scripture reading and in fasting even? Do we love Him enough to sit in His presence in solitude and silence to listen to His voice? And these are the choices we must make in order to have a healthy and productive life for the Lord. Today's Torah parashah begins with choices. Portion today is Re'eh. And it starts from Deuteronomy 11:26 today. It says, "See, I am setting before you." And that word "see," that's what Re'eh means. "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse." the blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from the way I command you today by following after other gods, which you have not known. So it's totally up to us, as we see. It's our choice. We can choose to have blessings, and we can choose to have cursings. We can choose to be obedient, and we can choose to be disobedient. We can choose to do what is right and what is good in God's sight, or we can choose to do what is wrong and what is wrong and what is bad in God's sight. It's our choice. God has always made it our choice. In the Garden of Eden, it was their choice. They could have chosen to obey the voice of the Lord, but they chose instead to listen to the serpent. And now that sin has come from the original sin of Adam all the way down through the thousands of years and generations until Yeshua took away the curse through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Now he sits at the right hand of our Father in heaven, interceding for us, his saints. But we have that choice. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life that you and your children may live." Therefore, we are to choose life in Yeshua. And if we do so, we will never be disappointed and will be never put to shame. L'chaim be'Yeshua, there is life in Yeshua. There is life in Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I love your word. I love your word, Lord. I want to love it even more. I want to love it more than life. I want to love it and love you, Lord, more than my desires, my will, my wants, that nothing that I would desire would compare with you in any way whatsoever, Lord. I want to love you, Lord, more than and smartphone. I want to love you more, Lord, than tablets and Chromebooks and laptops and desktops. I want to love you more than immorality and the things that entice us from you, Lord, the thoughts in our minds, the desires of our hearts, Lord, that are not right. I want to love you, Lord. I want that we should all love you more than these things. Again, Lord, that nothing that we would desire would compare with you. Lord, I just want to give you all the glory and all